Hey guys, welcome to For You From Eve. I'm here with another podcast episode with Brittany Arnett, also known as Toasted Table.
Hello. Hello to everybody. Brittany, I have an Instagram account called Toasted Table. It is a food blog. I've had it for about 5 years now. And yeah, I started it back my freshman year of college and since have gained about 40,000 followers, so it's really exciting.
New content because you post like every day basically. So is it like hard to find something new to post
I
every
actually
time?
have a backlog of toast photos on my phone. So I definitely, yeah, everything I
Smart.
post is 100% not in real time, or very rarely it's not in real time. My stories are, but not my actual in-feed posts. They're all from days past or previously. Sometimes I find a random photo from months ago, but it's all the same stuff. It's all avocado toast or toast of some sort, so it's pretty easy to post. Started back March of 2020, so pre-pandemic, pre-COVID, yeah,
Oh,
with
wow.
15,000 and now have 40. So it has grown a lot just from the pandemic.
That's something you would tell because I started a coffee page recently, and like I feel like it's so hard to grow a following and post consistently and like give up when you're not like, growing followers every day. So what are tips that you have to grow a good,
Oh,
consistent
I have a lot.
following? Give us them
I
all.
think the first and foremost, and a lot of people ask me this, is like number one thing, if you are going to start a blog, whatever it be, a fashion blog, a food blog, a coffee blog, you need to have something that is going to provide value to your followers. So even yourself, like personally, you think, okay, I want to follow this person. Like, why are you following fashion bloggers or celebrities? Because they are providing value to you. So you're scrolling through Instagram, you're like, oh, this is so cool. I love what they post. Or I get, in fashion inspiration from this blogger or food inspiration and recipe ideas from this blogger. And so they provide a value to you, which is why you want to follow them. So if you are likewise, if you're going to start a blog, what value are you going to provide your followers? So that's your number one thing, is understand that value.
Like finding your
Exactly. So
niche.
coffee blog is great. It's really specific. It provides exactly, it's clear on what a follower is going to follow you for. And it is pretty clear for what you and the content that you should be producing. Same with me and Toast. I think that's why it's been so successful or relatively successful. I mean, 40K is not like millions of followers, but because it's so niche and it's pretty clear exactly what I am going to post and exactly what I'm going to provide for my followers. So I think that's like my number one. I think a lot of people start these like wellness and food blogs or fashion blogs, but there are tons of those out there. So what's going to be unique and different about you? I think that's like baseline number one tip. Being consistent and posting consistently, so at least once a day, is really important. At the very minimum, post on your stories if you cannot post in your in-feed every single day. And being really authentic, again, consistent with your posting. So don't post one day. If you're starting a coffee blog, don't post one day, like start posting photos of like food or, fashion. Post something to do with coffee. So that way your content is pretty consistent. And then also post consistently in that, like you'll post every single day around the same time every day. So people know when you're going to be posting and can expect when you'll be posting. And then being authentic is, sometimes having everything prim and perfect and proper looks great. And for an in-feed post, I say go for it. Have it look really pretty. So that way, when people go onto your page, everything looks pretty and consistent, cohesive. But when it comes to your stories, don't feel like you have to make this really beautiful story. I think a lot of people started to use all these like story templates and make it look as pretty as possible. But I've seen, like personally, I love to follow people and influencers who are pretty raw and real with what they post on their stories. So they're not the most perfect stories, but they're engaging, they're fun. And they're really authentic to who the person is and, consistent with also what they're posting. So again, on your coffee blog, like you don't go posting about random things on your stories. Like, definitely post about coffee or something similar along those lines, unless people start asking for different things and they want to see different things. So definitely that. And then another tip I have is to, like, always use the tools Instagram provides you. So the algorithm changes all the time, which is so annoying.
Yeah, I realized that, like, recently, and I'm like, why did I lose, like, 70 likes because I posted at a different time? Like, I always get so confused with it. Yeah,
I don't know what about the algorithm and what about Instagram, but same for me. If I don't post a photo of toast, and I'm like, how does Instagram know this is a toast photo or not, you know?
Yeah.
So if I don't post a photo of toast, or again, post at a different time, if I post at 6 p.m. when I usually post at 12 p.m., then, like, it doesn't get as many likes, not as much engagement. It doesn't pop up on the explore page as much as it normally would. So that is like a huge piece. And so because the algorithm changes all the time, Instagram boosts, again, like, what you do consistently. So it kind of picks up on, like, who you are as a user. And also they love to test and try new things. So, like, whenever there's a new feature on Instagram, like Reels or IGTV, they will post that. Yeah. I don't know if you've noticed, but when they had launched Reels, now when I scroll through my Instagram feed, occasionally I'll see old Reels repopulate back onto my feed. So I'm watching them again. Yeah, but they've been posted a few days ago. So they want the Reels to catch on, and they want people to use them. So they're going to push and boost these Reel content, so people feel like, oh wow, they're really doing well. Yeah. Let me try them out too.
Yeah, those are great. I mean, I noticed when quarantine started, like you said, it went from 15K to 40K, and I didn't realize, like, I always thought you, like, had around 30-40, but that's insane that many people, like, found your account. And did you ever go to, like, any other outlets, like TikTok, when it became big? Did you try, like, maybe I'll create, like, toasted, you know, TikToks to get more recognition? Did you ever try that or no?
I tried TikTok once, but TikToks, and I'm also still trying out Reels myself. It is a lot of work.
Yeah.
And requires, like, a lot of video editing skill that I just do not have. And I feel like my posts do well when I just take a really great high quality photo of a piece of toast, and they do so well. You know, like, they get 3,000, 5,000 likes on them. So I'm kind of like, why fix what's not broken? But at the same time, I am trying to test and try, just because, like I said before, doing that and putting it on Instagram really helps boost the algorithm and, you know, gets that organic growth going.
100%. Was there ever a time where you think you felt, like, unmotivated towards your Instagram, where you're like, I just want to cleanse, I want to delete the apps, like, maybe this is too toxic for me, or no?
I've had a few of those moments, and it's, like, on a personal note, but then thinking back to Toasted Table itself, like, a personal note, yeah, there are definitely times and moments where I'm like, I don't want to be on Instagram, I don't want to look at it. And that's why sometimes it's nice to have the dual Instagram life. Like, sometimes I never go on my personal Instagram, and I just go on Toasted Table, and I don't look at whatever anybody else posts, and can just focus on the thing that I like. And I love Toasted Table, and I don't follow, like, people's personal Instagrams. I only follow food accounts. So it's really, again, consistent with the people I follow is also what I post. And I like and enjoy seeing that. I think on a Toasted Table perspective, I have felt unmotivated before, because it is a lot of work to keep up with. It is honestly sometimes a full-time or part-time job to just, you know, make sure that you're posting every day, engaging with your followers. And I think half of why it has grown so much during COVID is I have so much free time. I'm working from home, so I can, like, sit on my phone for 30 minutes in the middle of the day, and my boss won't be looking over my shoulder like, what are you doing? And then I also, you know, have a lot of, like, free time during the quarantine when it was really bad back in April, May, that I really could dedicate to it. So it could be a full-time job that is unmotivating. And to really get myself back into it, I have to, you know, like, sometimes I do just spend days, and I won't post every single day. It's whatever I feel. If I don't feel like doing it, I don't do it. And then eventually, if I get back onto it, at the end of the day, like, my account is a hobby for me. It's not my full-time job. I'm not making, you know, my full income from it. So everything I do is just a fun hobby for me. At any point, if it stops becoming fun and I'm not enjoying it, I'm just not going to do it anymore.
And I feel like we go, like, at least for me, I feel like I've gone through a lot of, like, funks where I'm like, oh, I'm deleting my Instagram. Like, I deactivated my Instagram the other day for, like, 3 days because I was like, I'm so involved with how many followers am I getting? How many likes am I getting? And when you focus on that, it becomes so miserable to post because you're like, I'm just posting to get more followers. Then you lose a follower and you overthink and it just doesn't become fun when that's your main focus. But like you realize too, and maybe this is why you grew so much during quarantine, when you stop focusing on like, oh, I want this many followers and you just post for yourself, it's like a lot more people start engaging with your content and you're like, oh my God, I never even realized.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Like way back when I was still in college, I used to post on Toast to Table like all of these photos of like kind of like gross food, but like it was like cookies and like donuts and cakes. And originally those would do so well for me, like people would just go crazy for them, I would get thousands of likes. And then the algorithm changed, like it was like the biggest change for it, where posts stopped being chronological. And if you remember, like when Instagram used to be all in chronological order, and then now it's like the most relevant is at the top and the least relevant is at the bottom, no matter when it was posted. So that change, all of my photos of like cookies and cakes and whatever, they just never caught on. And I was like, I don't know why. But also back then it was like, I was forcing myself to find, you know, cookies and cakes and whatever, go out of my way to buy them or make and bake them, which was time consuming. Like I was in college, like I'm not baking cookies every day. I had to study. So, and it was also just like, I don't want to eat this every day. And then eventually you do, because how are you not going to? It's right in front of you.
Yeah, that's how it is when I make my coffee. I have like 5 cups a day.
Exactly.
I'm, like,
well, that's
content.
Like unhealthy.
Really?
But yeah. And then I started to focus only on posting photos of Toast. And then that's when I also noticed that the engagement started to go up a lot more and people started to actually, you know, follow me. And that's where my growth came from. Not just from posting things that weren't true to me. And also I didn't like doing. So it really does do that whole 360 thing. What you like to do does well and will be enjoyable for you and your followers. Because they'll sense too that, you know, you like to do it. You're engaging with it.
And it brings the right audience along when you're just being authentic. But yeah, that's really cool. And when did you decide like you wanted to start it? Like, were you ever like posting on your personal or like, did you just create it or what happened?
On my personal, I would used to post so many photos of food. It was funny because back in college, I was known a little bit as like the food girl because I was in all of these food related clubs and like would always post about them. I don't know if you remember what Spoon University was. Spoon University, it was kind of like BuzzFeed and BuzzFeedy articles, and there were a bunch of different chapters across college campuses around the United States and globally, and everybody would write these like food related articles, like the best place to find pizza in the New York City, or the best place to get pasta in DC, or like, you know, I love these three snacks because, and then it would just be these like fun articles. Yeah. So I wrote a lot of those articles my freshman year because I was in Spoon University and I later became the editorial director of the Georgetown chapter. I went to Georgetown University. And I was known as the food girl because I would always like post and share these articles that I wrote, my friends wrote, because I wanted them to get the most views. Yeah. So everybody saw that. And then I would also post them on my personal Instagram as well. And a bunch of my friends were like, you need to get your own food Instagram. Please stop posting photos on your personal. This is weird. Like, don't do that. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll do that. And so March of my freshman year of college, I started Toast to Table. And again, it was like only a hobby. It was just a fun place for me to post photos of the food that I was constantly around because of all the organizations and things that I was in school.
Wow. Okay. And that's something else I want to talk to you about, because I wasn't planning on talking about it, but just joining clubs in college and getting so involved, because I know that's not easy for a lot of people, at least for me too. Like, I'm always like, oh, making friends and joining a new club and starting something new. So how do you like, what tips would you give to starting new clubs, because there might be people listening that are just now going into college and they're like, well, I don't know how to get involved. How important is it really? So you connected that with your Instagram. So what are some tips you have for like reaching out in college and branching out?
Well, I think it's the first and foremost is like understanding what opportunities your college presents for you. So like what resources there are, what clubs and organizations there are, you know, even if they're like frats or sororities, like whatever you can get to get involved, like looking online on your college's website and understanding what's out there. And I think the biggest thing is just like getting out of your comfort zone, pushing yourself to going to meet new people and making that effort, depending if you commute into college, making the effort to commute and actually go to, you know, club meetings and meeting people outside of your normal time, or if you're living on campus, really pushing yourself to get out there.
Yeah,
I think that that's it. And then if your school doesn't have what you want, start your own thing. I did that in college. Like they didn't have a club that I wanted, and I just started my own.
Oh my God, what club?
Again, it was a food club. It was called the GU Eating Society, Georgetown University Eating Society. And basically it was an organization dedicated to learning about culture, but through cuisine. Middle Eastern, just like you. And I connect really well with my heritage and wanted to do that in college as well. But then also wanted to learn about other people with different ethnicities and from different cultures and understand them. And I loved food, and I loved going out to restaurants. So I wanted to basically go out to restaurants around DC, learn about all these cool new restaurants, because Washington, DC is just like this hotbed of all of these different international cuisines and cultures, and also learn about, you know, different cultures, but through food, because I love food. And I think food is such a great connector to everybody in the world, and also such a great way to learn about a culture, because you really get to like taste it literally. And you know, get the sense and the experience of like what is important in a culture through their food and through their cuisine. So we were a small but big club of a bunch of people from all over the university, all different backgrounds. And basically we would get together and go to different restaurants. And the restaurants would provide us with discounted meals because we were all college students on a budget. And we would do, again, going back to social media and Instagram and food Instagram specifically, we would market the restaurant in exchange for like a discounted or free meal. We would market them on our Instagram. So it was really
That's awesome.
You know, Georgetown students, it was a mutually beneficial, you know, agreement between us two. We were getting a free meal or a discounted meal out of it from a restaurant. And then the restaurant was getting this free marketing exposure and getting, you know, Georgetown students that were in the area to learn more about their restaurant and the cuisine that they had. So it was really cool. Sometimes we would get the chefs to come out and talk about the food that was in front of us. Sometimes we would have chefs come to campus and do like cooking demos. And then also we would team up with cultural organizations on campus and do cooking demos too, just to like learn about the different food and learn how to cook and make it. It was a really fun club. So yeah, that's just like a little grouping of everything in one: social media, influencer marketing, all of that, and branching out and starting something in college if you really want to start something and do something new. So there's so many opportunities. You just have to make lemonade out of lemon.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I feel like I really need to hear that, honestly, because I'm in such a funk with my account where I'm like, and it's really, I really appreciate how you announce like the algorithm and all that, but it's so motivating to just hear that you were like, you were creating a club and you were going to these restaurants and trying to get deals for promotion. I feel like that's so inspiring, honestly, and so motivating. So I think that's really cool that you did all that in college and got super like involved. Because I feel like getting involved is like, you know, people could have all these good grades and everything, and Georgetown is obviously a great school, but it's like getting involved is a whole different thing. Like, especially me, I transferred schools and now I'm starting a new school, and it's like I'm starting online and I'm like, how do I even get involved online? You know what I mean? Like, how do I join a club through the computer type of thing? But no, I'm definitely going to look it up.
The pandemic is like a whole other thing that I didn't have to deal with. So I like really empathize and I'm also personally inspired by all the people going through school and starting new jobs and everything right now. That's all virtual, and through the pandemic, it's that much harder to connect with people. But you really have to push yourself to do to get out of your comfort zone and to do the things that you want to do. And I always think of like, think of the future, think of future you, and make future you happy. And although current you might not be happy, that doesn't mean future you can't be happy. You just have to work for that. You're in charge of your own happiness.
Building yourself up. Yeah, of course. It is. Yeah. And like, do you think, because I know when quarantine first started in March, I was out of routine, not working out, eating horribly, staying up late. Did you go through a phase of that?
Oh, I feel like I'm in that phase now. Or would you say no? I think I started the pandemic being like, oh, I'm quarantining. I'm going to like work out from home. I'm going to cook a lot and bake a lot. And I have all this time. Yeah. I baked bread like every other day. I love this. This is so fun. I'm really getting to do all this stuff that I've never got to do before. And now that I'm on like season 27 of quarantine, I'm like a little over it. Like, give me the grand finale. I'm ready. And now it's, I think now, especially like winter time, holidays coming up, where it's just like really weird period where you want to see your, you're used to seeing family and really connecting with people around you during this time. And you're not doing that, it's hard. So I've been struggling to find motivation to work out and to eat healthy and do all of that stuff. But, you know, I have to like keep myself on track. I try to move every single day. I try to, you know, eat somewhat healthy every day, plus or minus a pint of ice cream, but it's okay. You know, you live through life, whatever, what can you do? It's all about balance. Yeah.
You deserve it. Yeah, no, I totally feel that. And I feel like everyone else can relate, because it's like 1 week I'm like, I'm home. I have all this time to start this project and this assignment and everything. And right now for the past like 2 weeks, I've just been completely like shut down, where I'm like waking up late and I'm like, I have no motivation to make content. I have no motivation to do this. And whenever I'm in that mood, I just let myself be in that mood. And I'm like, okay, it's going to go away. I'm not going to force anything, or else my content won't be, you know, creative or good. It'll just be forced. So, I don't know. I'm kind of just trying to like break through that right now, honestly.
Yeah, definitely.
We're just going to, I'm going to ask like a few questions and you just give me, you know, a short little answer and everything. So, what's your favorite Instagram blog, whether it's food, fashion, education, whatever it is? What would you like your top three?
I love the blogger Negin Mercelli. She's a fashion blogger and she always has the best clothing, style, and hair. She also has her own hair care company and it's so nice. And then I'm gonna do one more for food. I love Molly Boz. She used to be a Bon Appetit contributor, and now she has her own like show, or I don't know, something on Patreon, whatever it is. But she has like the best recipes. She's so cool. I just kind of want to be her. She like moved out of the city and moved to LA, and I want to do that too. Why not?
I'm not really like a foodie, so I don't know like any food bloggers. I'm like the pickiest. I'm like so opposite from you. I'm the pickiest eater.
What are your favorite blogs? So I need to branch out.
Okay. I'm like a more lifestyle blogger. Like Emma McDonald, Maggie McDonald. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but they're very like lifestyle. Kenzie Burke. Those are like that's like my era, like very like YouTube vlogs that are 30 minutes long of them just like recording their day, and they do the same things every day. That's just like something that gets me out of bed. It's like, oh, okay, they're doing it. I have to do it.
I have lately. Like, those are my favorite. Every single night before I go to bed, I watch the Vogue and the Harper's Bazaar like skincare go to bed with me and beauty secrets. Like I just
those are
love
my favorite.
It puts me to sleep. I love watching those. I love seeing people do their skincare routines. Yeah. Like, and then when I do my skincare routine, sometimes I pretend like I'm one of them, and I'm like, I'm using this cleanser. Nobody cares. It's me talking to myself.
I know. I'm talking in the mirror. Me too. Well, my next question was going to be, what's your favorite skincare brand or skincare product?
Now, fun fact, I'm actually an assistant buyer for a department store in the cosmetics department. So I have a whole closet full of skincare. Thanks. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That's
and
like
I've tried so many different products. My favorite brand is probably, Who do I use all the time that I, oh, okay. Like from a drugstore perspective, my favorite brand is La Roche-Posay. They have great products, great for sensitive skin, great for acne, like always really consistent. And they also have really great foundation too. It's impossible to find their foundation in the US, but
Oh,
it's
I've never heard of them.
absolutely
Send
great.
them to
Like
me.
I just love their stuff. But they're in like Target, CVS, like you can find them in any drugstore. But they're like
Oh,
they're a little
really?
expensive even for a drugstore,
Hmm.
but they're worth it, trust me. And then from like a
Okay.
higher end skincare perspective, I love the brand Tatcha. It's at Sephora. All Japanese skincare. They
Okay.
have this amazing water cream and this amazing cleanser called the Deep Cleanse. And then I also really love Tata Harper. They're all natural, clean skincare brand. And they make the most amazing cleansing oil. I use it every night and it smells amazing.
Interesting. I'm gonna have to look at the drugstore when you said, because I've been looking for a new foundation and I want to get it from like a clean skincare brand instead of like MAC. But hey, okay, I'm gonna look at those. I just started a new skincare with Mario Basescu, and I know everyone hates that brand and says it's so bad for you, but it's been like working for me. But I don't
I
know,
kind of
everyone
like Mario
hates on
Badescu.
it.
I don't know why people hate on it either. I like
Okay,
the
good.
stuff from the brand a lot, and you know it's a great price point.
Good, good.
Yeah, there's so many.
Because every time I say it, they're like, oh my God. And I'm like, oh no. Because I have rosacea, which is like a skin condition for my face. And they have this drying lotion that you're supposed to put on your face and sleep with. And it's been helping my rosacea so much because I have it all over my face. I remember once I was talking to you about my skin and I'm like, it's so red. I don't know why. And they finally, the dermatologist was like, yeah, it's rosacea. So now, like, I use every single product from there to like heal it, and it's been working
There you
recently, so I
go.
don't
I
know why
think
people
people
hate
just
on them so much.
hate on things because other people hate on things, and then everybody hates on things. But like, you know what? You try what works for you,
Yeah,
what
that's
works for you
true.
works for you, and that doesn't, who cares what other people think and what other people say.
Okay, next question. What's one thing you have to do in the morning, no matter what, besides
I
brush your
have
teeth,
to
wash your face?
move my body. I need to work out, and I don't like to, sometimes I don't like to call it
Okay.
workout because I think people get turned off by the idea of working out every day, but like I need to go for a walk. I need to sweat a little bit. Like I need to just to do something. And it's like the only way I feel like I've started my day and I can like kick start my day. I need to. It gets through my sanity. I feel like I get a headache if I don't. I just need to.
No, I feel that. Yeah, whenever I'm like, okay, I'm gonna wake up and I'm gonna run and I'm gonna do abs, I'm like, okay, I'm not doing it. Like, if I like wake up and slowly start like stretching and everything, then I'll get
Yeah.
more into it. But yeah, that's a good one. Okay. What is your favorite toast recipe that you've made on your
Ooh, I
Instagram?
like anything. My absolute favorite is figs. Figs.
I knew you were gonna say
Avocado toast with
figs. I
figs
knew it.
and like a salty cheese, like a feta cheese or halloumi cheese, like anything that's like, so I just love cheese and I love salty cheeses that are like salty and briny. And like it works so well with figs. And then honey and olive oil, put them both, and some sesame seeds. Oh my God, some herbs. Oh my God, so good. I'm hungry.
I need you to make me a toast because I need you to make me one because I don't like avocado toast and I've tried it. Like for myself, I've made it. I had it once at, I think it was like some place in New York. I don't remember the name of it, but like I had it there and it wasn't bad, but I don't know. Maybe I need you to make me one with like olives and olive
Okay, I'll make
oil.
one
I
for
love
you
olives.
with
Yeah,
olives.
avocados. I don't know what it is with avocados. Okay, yeah, I need like olives on it. Maybe figs. Because you're always posting it. And I'm like, oh my God, that looks so good, but I just don't like avocado. I don't know. I know that's like your best friend, so I know you're probably hurt, but
Okay.
I don't know.
It's
I
really
just
okay.
can't.
It's okay if you don't like
Okay.
avocado.
I'll try to get through it. Okay, the last question that we're going to end off on is, what's a quote that you
Oh,
live
should I pull
by?
up my Bible quotes maybe? Like I
I'm
write
kind of
them
putting you on
down
the
in my
spot
phone
here.
notes.
I know.
Okay, maybe I won't pull out my Bible quote, but there was one thing that my dad had sent me on my email like such a long time ago, and it was basically a quote that said like if you wait till you're ready, you'll never be ready. So don't even bother waiting for it. And the idea, and I kind of just kept it on my
I
email.
love
So
that.
the idea of like only when we want to do something, when we feel like we're ready to do something, we're never going to be ready. So just do it, you know? Don't let yourself be held back by the idea or the false notion that you're ready for something. Just go for it because you never know what can happen. Even if you try and you fail, at least you've learned something. And I think failure always is a bigger lesson than success sometimes. So
Yeah, of course. I think that relates a lot to creating an Instagram blog too, because I know like being a content creator was not necessarily normalized like a few years ago. Like if you were putting vlogs up on YouTube or like vlogging your everyday life on Instagram, people are like, "What are you doing? Like, don't do this. Like, this is weird. No one wants to see this." And now it's like 5, 10 years later, and these people that content created are like so successful with their own apartments and their own brands and these collabs. And it's like, because I waited, I feel like for me personally, I waited so long to start a podcast because I was like, people are going to be like, it's so weird. Like, why are you just talking, you know? But now it's so normalized. And it's like, the first step is really just to do it. Like, for months, I've been planning and planning, and I feel like I was just procrastinating not doing it because I was like, I'll be ready when I have more time and more money and this to invest. But it's like, you really just have to start, or else,
yeah,
yeah, you'll
exactly. And
never be
although I just
ready.
said that that's the quote that I live by, I sometimes don't live by it. So I have to tell myself that every day, which is why I keep it on my email, like this one email and this one quote from my dad, because I need to look back on it every so often and just remind myself, like, just go for it. Just do it. Stop holding yourself back. Stop overthinking. And I'm such a
Yeah,
big
of
overthinker
course.
on literally everything.
Oh, me too. Me too. No, I feel that's the worst. But yeah, I think that's really smart too, is to have it somewhere you're gonna see it every day. That's what I do with like my planner, my vision board. I like need to see it every day to like wake up and be like, okay, yeah, that's why I'm working hard. That's why I'm gonna do this today. So I think that's
Yeah.
really important too. Okay, that was fun. That was a really cute little rapid fire. I like how
Oh
you
my
thought
God,
of that. I'm
totally do it.
definitely gonna use that with everyone. And I like the whole
Yeah,
quote
do
thing. I
that
think I'm
too.
gonna
I
ask
like
everyone
that. Oh
that.
my God, this was so much fun.
I
I
love
loved
that.
it.
Yeah. I know, this was really cute. I'm definitely going to have you back on the
Please
show in the
do.
future. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Make sure you guys go to Toasted Table on Instagram. Give her a follow if you don't already. Even if you don't like avocado toast, you're going to love her feed, I promise. I'm obsessed with it. So go ahead and give her a follow. Thank you so much for being
Thank
on the
you for
show and being my
having me. I had
first
so much fun.
guest. Of course. Of course. Okay, hopefully we can meet up soon, hang out soon, and see each
I
other when
hope
all this
so.
is over. Thank you guys so much for listening to my episode with Brittany, also known as Toasted Table. Make sure you guys give her a follow on Instagram. You could also find me on Instagram at For You From Eve for my blog. You could find me as Brewing Brunette for my coffee page and Olivia Eve Shabo for my personal. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode, and I will talk to you guys in my next one. Bye.